Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and go to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24 in your Bibles. I'm going to look at an individual, the eldest servant in Abraham's house. Genesis chapter 24, and I want to start reading in verse 1 and read down through verse 9, and then pick up at verse 27 as well. So Genesis chapter 24, and I'm going to start with verse 1 and read down through verse 9. Genesis 24 and verse 1, and Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of the earth that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath. Only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear unto him concerning this matter. Now look at verse 27, if you would, please. And he said, this is the servant, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before you this morning, we thank you for all the good things you've done for us. Help us indeed, as the song says, to count our many blessings. And Lord, count you worthy of praise for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we pray now as we pause to look at your word that you'd help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit as he teaches us. Help us to be sensitive as he convicts us, and help us to respond as we should for your honor and glory. We'll give you the praise for what you accomplish now in Jesus' name. Amen. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. Those are some of the greatest words I think we find in the Bible. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. We'll get to that in a little bit. But I want us to understand that we all exercise faith every day. Every day. I came into the auditorium this morning, to those four switches in the back. I reached up and I flipped those switches. I flipped those switches by faith, believing that there was power coming to those switches from our generating stations around Newfoundland, and that when I flipped those switches that these lights would come on. I did it by faith. We take our key and put it in the car. We turn the key. We turn the key by faith. Some cars, it takes a lot more faith than others. But we believe it will start. We put our debit card in a machine. I've come to age during the time of the debit card revolution. You know, I dare say that it's interesting that most people under 30 years of age don't have any money in their pockets. There's something wrong with me. I just can't handle going out and not having some money in my pocket for some, you know. But we take our debit card, a little plastic card. I remember when credit cards first came out, the Amex cards. How many of you remember the Amex cards? Yeah. And you put it in a machine, and the machine takes it out of your sight. And you, by faith, punch in your personal identification number. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's not a PIN code, by the way. And you, by faith, ask that machine to give you money. Or by faith, you ask that machine to transfer money. Or by faith, you ask that machine to pay a bill. You're trusting in the machine. You're trusting in the technology behind that machine. It's interesting. We find it easy to put faith in all these things. But I don't know about you, but there's times I've been let down by all of those things. I've been let down and gone to a light switch and flipped the switch and no lights came on. Could have been a breaker that was gone. Could have been we were in a power outage. But it's been let down. I've had a lot of cars that have let me down. We were, I guess maybe a year ago, we had just dropped Krista off. She was babysitting or house sitting something over here. I went back to a gas station, put gas in my truck. I jumped in, put the key in my truck, and I turned it, and nothing happened. My truck let me down. I tried it again by faith. I tried it again. I held my tongue like this. Tried it again. Didn't help. But we find it easy to trust in these things. But faith in God is not so common. Do you ever wonder why? I think one of the reasons that faith in God is not so common is we have not exercised it as often. When's the last time you made a decision or took an action and left the results entirely up to God? Saying that says each time we work out our own salvation, we find it harder to depend on God. Now, I'm not talking about being saved. But each time we say, I have to work this problem out all by myself, we find it harder to trust in God. George Mueller, a great man, Bristol, England, had orphanages there. You should read, if you've never read, you should read Mueller of Bristol. A great biography, a great man of God. He provided for his orphanages entirely through prayer by faith. He would fire someone from the orphanage if they told someone outside the orphanage of a need that they had. And you know what? Those orphans never went without a meal. God always provided. Why? Because they exercised their faith daily. Sometimes it was right up to the time they got to the table and they bowed their head to pray, but God never let them down. Exercising faith. In our text, this is what we see Abraham's servant doing. We see, first of all, in our text in verses 1 through 6, faith in question. Faith in question. The servant was asked to secure a wife for Isaac. Isaac was a grown man, about 40 years of age by this time. And it was time he married. And Abraham understood that intermarrying with the heathen of the land was going to bring problems. And we find that always took place in Scripture. That's why the Bible tells us not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Immediately, Abraham asked him to go back to the land, back north to place Haran to the north, and it was now Lebanon now, and to there where his relatives had settled before Abraham moved down into the land of promise. To go there and from his kindred to find a wife to bring back for Isaac. Immediately, questions came to the servant's mind. Look at verse 5. The servant said, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again into the land from whence thou camest? Immediately questions came. I'm afraid often when God asks us to step out by faith, the what ifs come to our mind. What if this happens? And what if that happens? What if, were you ever so arrogant to think, what if God doesn't keep his promise? You know, God said, David said, my God, so Paul told the church at Philippi, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. It's a promise. We talked about promises this morning. God said he would always, God's promises are always sure, and God's promises are always secure. We're talking about standing on the promises. But I'm afraid that often we look and we say, God, I'm going to have a contingency plan just in case you are not faithful. What if? What if things don't work out the way I want? What if the solution doesn't come as quickly as I want it to? I'm afraid sometimes we say, I have a better plan. This, and this is what the servant told Abraham. He said, Abraham, now if I go and there's this girl and nobody wants to come down with me and meet and this guy they've never met before and come into a place they've never been before, to a man they've never met before, how about if I just take Isaac and I take him back up to Haran and back there, and there they can meet each other and everything, and it'll work out. My plan will work better than yours, God. We get a little arrogant like that sometimes. Sometimes we say, God, my plan for my children will work out better than yours. My plan for my finances will work out better than yours. My plan for my future will work out better than yours. Do you know it's not wrong to ask questions as long as we're committed to obey the answer? Think of Abraham when the Lord came to him just before the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and told Abraham that he was going to destroy those two wicked cities. And Abraham questioned, he said, well, will you save the city for 50? And then he went on down and he kept asking God's. And Abraham was committed to obey God regardless of the answer to the question. God doesn't mind honest questions. Faith in question. What if? What if? We live our lives and while we here, especially in North America and Newfoundland and Labrador, we have a great deal of security the rest of the world does not know about. But we still live in a time when we often say, God, well, if I do this, if I obey, what if? If I follow through with what the Bible says in this area, what if? And God doesn't mind that as long as we're committed to obey the answer. And so faith in question, what if? And then we see faith in action in verse 10. The servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed. For all the goods of his master were in his hands. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. Faith in action. Abraham had told him, go to Nahor. Haran, the same area up there. In Mesopotamia, and Mesopotamia is the land between the rivers we call the Fertile Crescent, going down from Ur of the Chaldees at that time and coming up to the north, the Tigris and Euphrates rivers, and then coming back down towards the Mediterranean. That's the area he was going. He says, so he made preparations for the trip. He took 10 camels. They needed those for the goods they were going to take and for the bride he was going to bring back. He left on the trip. He went where he was told to go. Again, he didn't say, I have a better idea. Maybe instead I'll make a left turn and we'll go down to Egypt instead. I heard those Egyptian girls are pretty good looking. Maybe we'll go down to Egypt. Maybe instead, you know, we'll go a little further to Egypt and we'll go south into Africa. Or maybe we'll go up at, you know, he didn't say, he said went exactly where his faith in action. You know, we don't reach the destination unless we plan, go, and obey. Unless we plan and go and obey. The servant said, you know what? I'm going to plan. I'm going to get all the provisions around, the transportation. I'm going to go. I'm going to step out by faith. And I'm going to obey Abraham in going to the place that he has told me I should go. So faith in question, then faith in action. And third, we see faith in prayer in verses 12 through 14. Faith in prayer, verses 12 through 14. He says, and here we find that, let me read verse 11 to get the context there. In verse 11, verse 10, he took the camels, and in verse 11, and he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that the women go out to draw water. And then verse 12, we see his prayer here. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, and she shall say, drink, and I will give thee thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Faith in prayer. He prayed about the circumstances he found himself in. I think sometimes in prayer we are so concerned about the words and phrases that we use that we forget that God simply wants to communicate with us and us to communicate with Him. You know, sometimes we need to begin our prayer and say, Lord, I'm in a mess. Or say, Lord, this is really hard. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I'm having a lot of problems today. Or even we get into a mess, simply say with Peter as he began to sink in the Sea of Galilee, Lord, save me. God wants to hear honest words from us. He prayed about the circumstances. He prayed for success, and he prayed for a specific answer. He said, Lord, I'm here at the well. It's the evening that I arrived here at this city. At the evening time is the time that the ladies come out to draw water. So, Lord, I'm going to set up a scenario for you. I need your help with this. I need to know which young lady to approach. It wasn't like Gideon letting out the fleece to say whether I was going to go to battle or not. He said, I'm going to, but I need you to help me to know which young lady to approach, which young lady that you have selected to be a wife for Isaac. And so, as I come and say, ask a young lady to let me have a drink of water from her pitcher, and she says, oh yes, by the way, I'll give water to your camels too. He asked for a specific answer. You know, prayer is the key to realizing faith. Prayer is the key to realizing faith. There's never been a great man or woman of faith who was not a great man or woman of prayer. Because through prayer, our faith is strengthened. Through prayer, we communicate with God. Through prayer, we bring petitions before God and we see God answer those petitions. Christ said, "You have not because you ask not." I wonder, work with me on this, in heaven is a storeroom of answers to prayer. They're all piled up there, just waiting for us. I wonder in the section that says Lynn Allen Holman, Answers to Prayer. I wonder how many there are there that I've never asked for because I didn't pray. We know every good gift comes from God. God hears our prayer, God answers. But I wonder if there's a storeroom of answered prayers in heaven, how many of ours are left laying on the shelf? Faith in prayer in verses 12 through 14, and then faith in wonder in verses 15 through 21. And it came to pass before he had done speaking that behold, Rebekah. Before he had done speaking. Faith and wonder. Before he was done, there was a specific woman, a specific answer. Look at verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." Can you think of this servant now? He sees this woman, Rebekah comes. She's a fine girl, a pure girl. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher. And she's coming back up from the well. Many times the wells were down in holes in the ground. You had to go down a set of stairs into the hole in the ground, and there was the well, and you dip it, and she'd come back up out of the well, and she'd come back out, and she had her pitcher of water, and that was all she was expected and required to do that evening, to bring that pitcher of water back to her family so they'd have water for the evening. And the servant goes, and he asks the question, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water from thy pitcher." I think he kind of held his breath after that. Is this the one? What's she going to say? How's she going to respond? By the way, Rebekah was an answer to prayer that day. Sometimes God calls on us to be answers to prayer as much as to get our prayers answered. And she said, "No, you can't have any. It's for my family, I'm going home." No, she didn't say that at all. She said, "Drink, my Lord," and she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. Verse 19, and when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking." This is quite a chore. Camels drink, 10 camels. I don't know how many pitchers of water each camel would drink. At least one. They'd been walking all day. They were thirsty camels. I'm not sure if they were one hump or two hump camels. But they were thirsty. She probably made at least 10 more trips down to the well and back up with water. And I think the servant just stood there. Look at verse 21. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Did you ever wonder at answer to prayer? You prayed in faith. You prayed believing. And then God answered in a way you could not have begun to imagine. And you have to just stand in wonder and awe at what God had done. Here the servant, he was speechless. Faith and wonder. We need to look for answers to prayer in the common things of life. Look for answers to prayer in the common things of life. Often we look and we want to see answers to prayer in big miraculous shows. But look for answers to prayer in the common things of life. Something you lost. A lost sheep. A lost coin. A lost son. Something that you cannot do, that you've tried and tried and tried in your own strength and your own wisdom to do, and it does not work for you. And you pray and say, Lord, I've got to get this done. Can you help me understand what the problem is? Or can you help me just get this to fit properly? Because I've tried over and over and over, and I can't do it by myself. And you try it again, and it all goes together. Look for answers to prayer in the common things of life. Sometimes I think God lets things go bad for us sometimes just so he'll hear from us. So we have our devotions in the morning, we read our Bible, we pray in the morning, and then if we're not careful, we go all day long and never have a word with God after that. So we lay our head down that evening and thank him for the day he's given us. Sometimes I think God just wants to hear from us. And by the way, when God does provide the answer, when God does provide, does help you to locate that thing, when God does help, that maybe we should stop and say, Lord, thank you for doing that. Not just take it for granted. Well, I guess the 10th time was a charm and I just got to figure it out myself on the 10th time. No. Thank God. Look for answers to prayer in the common things of life. And then we see faith in worship in verse 27. And he said, Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and truth. I, being in the way, the Lord helped me to the house of my master's brethren. Faith in worship. Faith in worship. Worship God for who he is, the Lord God of my master Abraham. Worship God for God's mercy and truth. Worship God for his provision, he hath not left destitute the house of my master. Worship God for his specific direction. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. I'm afraid often we want to be led by the Lord, but we don't want to be in the way. We don't want to be in the way. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That the way, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. We want answers. We want God's blessing, but we're not in the way. We're not walking in the path that God prescribes for us. Faith and worship. Always give God praise and credit for his good work. The servant didn't say, well, I guess I was smart enough to come to the right place. The servant didn't say, well, it's a good thing that Master Abraham called on me to take out this job, because a lesser man would not have come to this place. No, he says, I was just in the way. I was in the path that God ordained for me, and being in that path, God led me. And it's a lot easier to lead a car driving down the road than the car's in the ditch. Got to get it out of the ditch first, probably make some repairs, and then you can get back on the road. We let our lives run off in the ditch, and then say, Lord, I need you to lead me. Well, he said, well, maybe you should have stayed on the road. You should have stayed on the way with your life. If you stayed on the way, then you wouldn't be in the mess you're in right now. Faith in worship. We see as well, down towards the end of the chapter, verses 61 through 65, we see faith in reality. Faith in reality. Look at verse 61. And Rebekah rose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the eventide. He lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. I like that phrase. Behold, the camels were coming. He knew the camels had gone to find him a wife. And he looked off in the distance and he saw 10 camels coming back. He saw the servant and probably other servants that had gone with him. But he saw on one of those camels, obviously was not the figure of a man. Faith in reality. We see the servant's obedience led to Rebekah's obedience. We see if we look at the preceding verses that there was some hesitation in her home about her leaving so quickly to go to meet Isaac. God prepared the meeting time and place for Isaac and Rebekah. God spoke to Isaac's heart that this evening that, why don't we spend some time together, Isaac? And he went away from the camp out into the fields, and there in the fields he was, the Bible says, meditating. I believe it infers meditating on the things of the Lord. Real faith has real answers in real life. Real faith has real answers in real life. My last thought, faith in results. Faith in results. Look at verse 66 and verse 67. Well, let me go back up to verse 64. We'll read to the end of the chapter. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after the death, after his mother's death. Faith and results. Isaac's faith was increased because of the servant's faith. Abraham saw Rebekah and was reminded of God's promise, Genesis 22:17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiply, and I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Abraham was still alive. Isaac's mother had already passed away. But Abraham was alive, and Abraham saw not only that God had fulfilled his promise, but now Isaac would have a wife. Not a wife of the heathen of the land, but Isaac would have a wife, and the promise of God of descendants as the stars of the sky and the sand of the sea would be fulfilled in Isaac and his generations after that. Isaac loved Rebekah. Just a short thought there. Love is a choice. He chose to love her. You know, we can't always see the results of our faith. We pray in faith, maybe for lost things, lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. Maybe we pray in faith for problems, and we don't see necessarily through our mind's eye, or even in our lifetime, may not see the result, but God is always faithful. God is always working. God is always able. We may not always see the results of our faith, but we know that as we trust God, He doeth all things well. He doeth all things well. The faith of Abraham's eldest servant. You don't hear much about him. He just kind of lost in the middle of the story. But He said, I, being in the way, the Lord led me. He had faith to be in the way, to stay in the way, to trust in the way. I, being in the way, the Lord led me. You know, I wonder, where are we today? Are we questioning faith? Are we full of the what ifs? God, I would obey you, but what if? God, I would trust you, but what if? God, I would follow you, but what if? Faith in action. Maybe we're stepping out by faith. You know, stepping out by faith is not always an easy thing because it goes against our human nature many times. Faith in prayer. When's the last time we prayed by faith for something that was not humanly possible? Faith in wonder. Wondering at God's answers to prayer. And then worshiping Him for the answers that He gives. And then seeing the reality and the results of our faith. Not only, and think about this, all this really didn't benefit Abraham's eldest servant that much. It benefited his master. I'm sure Isaac was really glad that he took that trip. I'm sure Rebecca was glad. Faith in results. Seeing the results of our prayers and our prayers answered in a very real way in our lives. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes, please?